Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, everybody. Good evening, good evening. Here it is, March the 5th, 2025. Welcome to True Foundation Ministry Bible Study Line on tonight, and we are going to get started. We are not going to prolong anything at this time. I would like to go ahead on and worship us in, bring us in with a prayer, and then I'm going to turn it over to Brother Don tonight from Steve, North Carolina. Amen. Evangelist Joni's son, he's going to have the pleasure of bringing us through Bible study tonight, and I'm so excited. Amen. Father God, we come to you as humble as we know how, oh Father God, thanking you for another day, God. Thanking you for life, health, and strength. Thanking you, God, for making a way out of no way, oh God. God, I ask right now as we go forth that everybody participate, oh Father God, and we get the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of your word on tonight, God. And we just want to tell you thank you, God. Bless everybody that comes on this line and those that come back to hear it later on. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross for us. Thank you for your grace and mercy, O Father God. Thank you for your salvation. Save souls on tonight, O Father God. And we just want to thank you, Father God. We love you on tonight, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Okay, Brother Don from Steam, North Carolina, it is in your hands. And everybody, participate.
Someone joined while you're praying.
Okay, and who was that? That joined while I was praying. Who came on the line?
Well,
okay, they want to be anonymous. Okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So tonight we're talking about love again. Okay.
Okay.
My man, are you up to reading?
I don't have my glasses. My glasses.
Okay.
I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna listen.
Okay. That's fine. Cynthia, do you mind finding Acts 2:23 and 24?
Okay.
Acts chapter two.
Verse 23 and 24. And what other verses while I'm finding this one? Because Liz is on the line, I think.
Okay.
Two and 23.
Okay. Go ahead.
Normally,
when we read it, you ask us to talk about it. I'm going to ask you to read it, so I'm going to talk about it, okay?
Okay. Acts 2:23 and 24 reads as thus. He began deliverance by the determination counsel and foreknowledging of God. He have taken and been wicked-handed, having crucified and slayed, whom God have risen up, have lost the pain of death, because it was not possible that he shall be holding of it.
We're talking about love. And okay. Verse 24 says, whom God has raised up. The question is, well, who did God raise up? Well, he raised up Jesus. Now, there's probably several reasons why God raised Jesus from the dead, but we're going to talk about one reason tonight, and that's because of love. God loved Jesus. Jesus loved God. The Trinity loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
God raised up Jesus because he loved him. Jesus loved God, and God reciprocated his love. So reciprocate means that when someone does something to you, you return what they did to you back to them. That's what reciprocate means.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus was obedient to the point of death on the cross, because he willingly submitted to the Father's plan to sacrifice himself as a perfect atonement for. Hang on. Are we breaking up?
You were, but
I can hear you
fine. Okay, that was Evangelist Jones, Jennifer and them getting on the line. That's probably why you.
Okay. So I'll go over again real quick. God raised up Jesus because he loved him. Jesus loved God, and when Jesus showed his love to God, God reciprocated his love by raising him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
See, yes, Jesus died for our sins, but he also laid down his life because he loved God, and he was submitting himself to the Father's plan to make himself the perfect atonement for our sins. So Jesus laid down his life because he loved us, because he loved God. And because Jesus loved God, God returned the love by raising him from the dead again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what reciprocates means, okay?
Okay.
Now, second point is, who teaches us love? I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians 4:9, okay?
1 Thessalonians?
Yes, chapter 4, verse 9. And this is the King James I'm reading, okay? Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need. I hear somebody talking.
Yes, everybody, please put your phone on mute. That way your background won't interfere when he's talking.
Thank you. So 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now, concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. I think this question came up before in the past few weeks, we're talking about love, but I was thinking, preparing for tonight, Cynthia, who teaches us love? And you know what? Right there in the Word, as you said, it's not me, God said it, you're taught by God.
Mm-hmm.
So, if anybody says, who teaches you love? You're taught by God. It's in the New Testament, chapter 4, verse 9, okay?
Okay.
Now, if the Cynthia, what's the young lady's name who joined in? I'm forgetting her name. Jennifer?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Can you read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, please? And Cynthia, while she's... Yeah, 2, 10, and 11. And same thing, while she's getting that, can you look up 2 Timothy 3:16?
Okay. 3:16.
Yep. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And then when you have 1 Corinthians 2:10, just go ahead and read it, okay?
These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. And that was the NIV version, and the New King James Version reads, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God.
Amen. Thank you for that. You raised Cynthia?
Okay. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads as this: all scriptures is given by the inspiration of God and is profound for doctrine, for the reproof, for correction, for the instruction of righteousness.
So we learned a few minutes ago that God teaches us love, okay, from Thessalonians. So now, if we know that God teaches us love, well, how does God teach us love? Well, both of you young ladies just gave the answer. One is the Holy Spirit God. It says in the Word of God that the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, and he reveals them to us. Number two, another way that God teaches us love is through the written word called the Bible, because it says, as Cynthia said, all scripture is given of God. So God teaches us love by three ways: the Holy Spirit, the Word of God in the written form, and by example.
All right.
And all three good ways, but I think that let's go back to the first point reciprocate, okay? That means that, you know, if I love somebody, when they return that love, they're reciprocating that love back to me, okay? And so that's how God is teaching us by example. We love him, and he reciprocates that love or returns that love by healing us, by guiding our lives, by providing our daily needs. And that's okay. So the love flows in both directions, not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we should do to our brothers and sisters, as if they in fellowship and church and life, if they're, you know, as they act out their love, we should return their love. Now, one thing that you think they said, though, is we're supposed to love all people, including non-Christians. That means that you see a person on the street corner, you know, you should care about them, saying there's a human being made in the image of God, and right now they're bound for hell, and they need Jesus. And so because you love him, you might give him a tract. You might just say, I'm going to pray for you. Can I pray with you? Or they might say, hey, I got time while the bus is coming. What? You take the time to talk to me. And you have 10 minutes of sharing the word, okay? Now, in this case, you're showing them the love. They may not reciprocate anything back or return that love to you. But you know what? God, true love doesn't do anything to get anything back. True love is an action verb that goes from you to them with no strings attached.
Amen.
And remember, another way that God teaches us love is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit's searching out the depths of God, and in our quiet time, he's speaking to us. Sometimes it's that little voice that it's hard to describe, or you be reading a verse, all of a sudden your spirit's quickened like a bolt of electricity, zaps you. You say, hold it, and you just plan on reading the rest of the chapter, but now you stop and you focus on that one verse. For some reason, that verse is not sticking out, and what we should do is meditate and say, God, is there something that you want to show me more about that verse? I've read 100 times, but now there's something else that I need to learn about. So that's how the Spirit works, you know, that way too.
Okay.
So does anyone know, besides the Holy Spirit and the written word of God, there's another way. God can teach us about love by our brothers and sisters in Christ. We can see them walking out their lives and learn from them about love. How can I express my love? Why is this sister doing this and this brother going there? You're learning something. If you're learning something, you're being taught.
Amen. And what about when we are talking about, when we talked about loving our enemies in Matthew 5 and 44? Janae, get that for me, please. Because I think that's one of the most powerful ones when it comes to love. Because if you can love your enemies, and especially after they done did you wrong, and you seen them doing you wrong, and grinning in your face, and you still can love them, then you know you got some Jesus in you.
Amen.
You know, and do you have it, Janae? Okay, she must have went somewhere.
Chapter did you say?
Matthew 5 and 44.
5 and 44?
Uh-huh. And then Evangelist Joni, because I'm going to help you out, Brother Don. Get Proverbs 17 and 17 for me, please.
Proverbs 17 and
17? Yeah, Proverbs 17 and 17, because we're still talking about love. And you are doing a great job because you're setting the base on love.
Okay, Matthew 5 and 44 says, "But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven, for he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteousness and the unrighteousness."
And what does that mean to you?
Just like we've been talking about, you have to love the ones that come up against you and that are against you. And pray for them. It's in the Bible. That's what God tells us to do. We don't have to always get along with the people that come up against us and have negative stuff to say about us, but we do need to love them and we do need to pray for them. And when you pray for them, you don't need to be praying negative stuff against them, because your tongue is a weapon. And you may be praying negative towards them, and then it backfires on you, and then whatever you pray against them might happen to you 10 times fold, because that's not what you're supposed to do. When you're praying for someone, whether if you like them or don't like them, you always should be praying that God protects them and God changes their heart or whatever needs to go on with them, but it should never be a prayer of negativity.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. And to piggyback on that right there, she said that because the word said, I don't say it, the word said that God looks at your heart. God looks at what you are doing. In other words, you will reign with him and be just by the things that you do, and God will judge you accordingly. So you don't have to worry about what man might think of you. Like a couple of weeks ago, one of my colleagues took it and said, "Well, why you care so much about them? You know they talking about you and they doing this and they doing that." I said, "But I'm not God. The word said I'm supposed to love them anyway." And I was being the positive one. The old Cynthia probably would have told them off, but I thank God for the mercy and grace that keeps me, that don't make me go that way, because as leaders, the enemy will send his imps out there to test us. Someone said yesterday, if the devil is not messing with you two or three times a day, then that means you ain't doing something right. And because we are walking with God and we are children of God, we are going to be tested. But the whole thing in a nutshell, love the Lord thy God. And that's in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. If I put it to you like this, and I say it all the time. If you don't love yourself, you can't love God. If you don't love God, you can't love nobody else. And this is why it's so important for us to practice that love,
each and every day. And not just on Bible study night, not just on nights or on Sundays when we all come together, because everybody love everybody, hugging on them and all this old and stuff. And but as soon as you walk outside that door, or as soon as you get from in front of their presence, then you got a whole bunch of mouth. But just like Janae said, whatever come out of your mouth against somebody else, it's going to come back to you. Because when you point that finger at a person, how many pointing back at you?
Four.
Thank you. So that means it's going to come back triple, quadruple, the fourth time, worse than what it was that you spoke on somebody. That little red thing that's in our mouth gets us in trouble sometimes. And then sometimes it's got enough power to get us out, and we stay out. So the whole thing in a nutshell, and I'm so glad that we are still talking about love, because that's the only thing that's going to get us through this is love.
Amen.
Okay, amen. Evangelist Jennifer, you got the other scripture?
I thought you said Minister Joni, but I will get it at Proverbs 7 and 17.
Yes, ma'am. And while she's getting that, also in Titus 1 and 8, it talks about how love is hospitality. And hospitality, you know, is where you serve others and not waiting on them to serve you. Because so many times, I'll put it like this right here, when we serve others, we expect them to serve us back. But see, when Jesus served, he didn't expect for them to serve him back. He was teaching them how to love. And that's what we need to be doing as the body of Christ, is teaching people how to love by our actions and how we act. That's why we have to carry ourselves accordingly and prove ourselves to God that he can trust us with this. Because this is an assignment, my brothers and sisters, that we are on. We're not doing this just to be doing it, just for somebody to be looking at us. We are on assignment. We are disciples for the Lord.
Amen.
You said Proverbs 7 and 17?
Proverbs 17 and 17.
Yeah, chapter 17. But you did say 7 first, Cynthia.
Oh, I apologize, man. I'm just feeling it tonight.
Okay.
It's just wet feet.
Yeah, them wet feet, yes, sir.
A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for a time of adversity.
You want to expound on it?
Well, as we had discussed 2 weeks ago, that was one of the scriptures that we had read, and we were basically saying how entitlement, how sometimes the brother or the whoever is connected to you through DNA can sometimes feel entitled, which is why they may not have your back the way that a friend does. We also use it in comparison to the scripture where Jesus said, what greater love is there than a man that'll lay his life down for his friend? And a friend earns this unconditional love, because when a friend, when a friend learns to trust you, when they learn that you will be there with them through thick and thin, it becomes that agape love that is taught to us truly by the Spirit of the God that dwells in us. And we also learn to have that agape love through the examples of children of God who are followers of the Spirit and chase after the Spirit and not after the flesh.
Mhm. Okay. That's real nice and good and cozy. That's a good analogy on that. Before I turn it back over to Brother Don, Liz, go to Ecclesiastes 3 and 8 for me, please. Ecclesiastes 3 and 8. A time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace.
So, there's a time for everything in our life, my brothers and sisters. How we handle it and what we do with it and how we channel it is totally up to us. In other words, if you retaliate in a mean, spiteful way, that's not showing love. Love is sometimes when you are presented with this, you have to be quiet. You have to not say anything. When someone is doing you harm, or you think that they are by, you know, mentally, physically, or whatever, you have to sometimes just sit back and be quiet and let God handle it. Because we do go through spiritual wars. And sometimes worse than others. But it's what you do with it. It's how you handle it. Because everything is not blamed on, you know, we blame it on the devil to justify for our actions. But if we sat back and just wait a minute, we'll see really it was our fault in the beginning. And then we get all hostile trying to get out of it. But if you allow God to do it and do the mending and stuff for you, you can go through it in love. You can let your light shine, as the word said, regardless of what it is that you are going through. Yes, as a pastor, I'm telling you it's hard sometimes. It's real hard. But that's when you go in your prayer closet. That's when you go in your word and get you a scripture or get you a song in your heart. Don't allow the enemy to take you there. We have that love and that unconditional, that agape love that evangelist Jennifer was talking about, and we really need to exercise that. We really need to put that into action. Amen?
Amen.
Mother Ann, you have anything to say about love?
Yeah, we gotta keep on praying, and love. We have to obey God and do what God say do, and love one another, and still love our enemy. And keep on praying. That's all we gotta do. Just keep right on praying and ask God, do what God say do.
Amen. Amen. And it is hard sometimes. I'm the first to say that. But that's when you called on the other saints. When one or two are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of it. And Jesus is always with us, even when it's just one of us. He's still right there. And he will protect us, and he will guide us and show us that love if we open our heart and our mind up to it. Okay, Brother Don, I'm through.
So Cynthia, I want to go to, I want to continue on the Ecclesiastes 3:8 a little bit, okay? A time to hate love and a time to hate. Now, normally, when we think of hate, and this is a valid feeling, you think of the negative terms. Somebody makes you mad, and you begin to have negative feelings. You might cuss them out, and that's hate coming out of your heart, okay?
Uh-huh.
Now, I think, though, that I'm just going to throw something out and see what you guys think about this, okay? I think there's another side of the coin of hate that is a, for lack of terms, righteous hate. God hates sin. God hates rebellion. God hates disobedience. And so there's a righteous hate, if I can use that term, and you see where I'm going. Let's take a huge drive down the street. Day after day, and you see this person sitting in the street begging. Her clothes are ragged. She's hot. She has no water or food. You know, and he said, you go by here, but by the third day, though, you get that little quicken in your spirit. And you know, I got to get to work. You brush it off. But by day seven, you can't ignore that leading the spirit no longer. And at some point, if you're obedient to God and walking in the spirit, you go up there and say, I can't take it no more. I hate seeing you sitting like this without no food and water. Come with me, and I'll take care of you. And see, you use the word hate, but in a positive context. Does that make sense?
That does make sense, Brother Don. Because, I mean, I think it's a couple of ways, just like you were saying, that hate can be used. Because the way you are using it is like it breaks your heart to see them in that situation.
Right.
So, you know, so that's a totally different hate than I hate you because you done did da-da-da-da-da-da and you just getting on my last nerve and I don't want to be bothered with you. Then that's coming from your feelings. That's a different type right there. You know, but the kind of hate you are talking about is that my heart hates. My heart is suffering right now. I'm sorrow right now that you got to go through this and everybody's walking by and not trying to help you. I hate that you got to suffer like this. So I understand the different kind of hate that you are talking about because in reality, that hate, if you turn it around, is love. Because you are actually saying, you know, I love you enough to help you to do something about the situation that you are in. And as men and women and children of God, we have to look beyond the surface of things.
Yeah. Can I pick it back up that minute, pal?
Yeah.
I just want to add to that, right? Look, hate is a learned behavior. Somebody has to teach you hate. Because you don't grow up out of your mother's womb hating nobody. Hate comes from ancestors. Hate comes from influence. Nobody grew up hating nobody. Hate is a learned behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about you hating, you got to, first of all, why you hate. Then understand what is hate in that situation. And then when you really break hate down in that situation, you realize it ain't really hate. It's a dislike. You just used the wrong word.
Mm-hmm. But then also the way that Brother Don used it as an example, it wasn't in a way like you was brought into it or somebody taught you. It was brought in a way that I just hate the situation that you are in. I don't hate you, my brother or sister. I just don't, another word, I dislike how you are right now. And I want to know, as a woman or man or child or whatever in Christ, what I can do to help you get this because I love you because Jesus first loved you. That's what he was, you know, that's the analogy that he was using to do the different types of hate. It's
yeah,
that hate that you really, really hate, you know, and then it's the hate that I just don't like that situation. It's the piggyback word off I don't like.
Right.
The situation that you are in. And then it says that
hate put you in a selfish position. Because all hate was allow you to think about how you feel and your situation.
Mm-hmm.
It don't allow you to see nobody else's side of the story.
Mm-hmm.
Hate blinds you, like Brother Don was saying.
Right. And see, and that's why we do the other part, the first part, you know, when they say a time to love. And then the end of it, I love it the most, a time of peace. Sometimes, and this is why I say the peace part come in when you just sit back and you meditate on the goodness of Jesus. You go in that prayer closet and you have a little talk with Jesus. You have a little talk with God and let them tell you all about it, like the song says. Or you just get quiet. You get a peace among yourself, and that will bring that love out because I do believe that the Holy Ghost will show you.
way the love is in every situation that you are in. And then how much do you love me? You know, I did a sermon one time on what love got to do with it. I'll never forget it. Love got everything to do with it. Because if you don't have no love for God's people, then you telling God you ain't got no love for him. You only love him when he can do something for you or make something happen for you. I love God regardless if he do anything. Why? Because he woke me up this morning. He put breath in my body. He let me go about my merry way. It wasn't nothing like people think spectacular. Oh, you know, he gave me $1 million. I got a brand new car. I got a new job and all of that. All that's dandy and good. But it's the simple things that God does for us that a lot of people forget about. We got people that don't got legs and arms and one eye and can't hear and stuff, but they got a lot of love for God. Why? Because they're still here. So we have to look at the big picture and not just that little dot. You know, when we was in school, they drew a big old circle and they put a dot right in the middle of the thing, and you're looking so hard until you forget about that dot. You don't even see it. So in other words, we got to forget about that dot and look at the big picture and the love that we should have, because why? The word said we should have that love. Every scripture we've been talking about falls back on love and how we should love one another, how we should love our neighbor, how we should love God, how we should love our enemies. All of that just keeps coming back. And this is why I say it's so important for us to go back in these scriptures and read them so we can get this understanding. I always say when I pray, God, give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of your word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Also, Cynthia, I want to continue on a little bit about the hate. So we're human beings, and we have emotions, okay? The devil wants to make you feel guilty. He wants to cover you with condemnation. He wants to make you feel condemned, unworthy, apart from God, okay?
Uh-huh.
And so he'll find anything he can do to try and trip you up. There's a pastor who said one time years ago, then you're walking down the street, and you take a quick glance across the street, see this young girl, you just turn your head back, keep walking.
Uh-huh.
He says, you're okay. But he says, now it's a second glance that gets you in trouble, okay? And so it's the thing with hate. I'm giving an extreme example, but it's the one I can think of. So if I'm walking along and somebody, I'm trying to help him, all of a sudden he punches me, I might have a flash of hate in my head for about 2 seconds, okay? So at that point in time, the devil's going to say, oh, hate, you had hate in your heart, you had hateful thoughts, God's not going to forgive you, you're out of fellowship with God. No, what happens is the difference is you just don't, if you stand there and let the hate fester for minutes or hours, you're in sin. But if you just, okay, God, I forgive him, and all of a sudden, the hate is instantly replaced in your spirit with love or forgiveness, then the devil has no hold on you or no reason to condemn you, make you feel guilty. So we all may experience hate, but it's how you handle it and how fast you replace it with love or forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Okay. Anybody else have anything else they want to add on that?
I would. Let me see. I gotta get my thought back together now. Also, we have to remember when it comes to talking about a time to hate, in correlation with a time to love. Sometimes, as men and women, children of God, We're going to have to hate the things that the Lord hates, because at the end of the day, the Lord hates sin. And we have to understand that a stand for righteousness is standing against the world and the worldly ways. The Bible teaches us that we hate the sin, but we love the person. So we have to understand, though, yet while we're loving all the time, sometimes we're going to have to hate. We're not hating the people, but we're hating the worldly ways, the carnal ways, and to really get to a point where we understand that to hate that means to stand for God. We got to go against those things. That's why we have to learn how to be guarded up with the whole armor of God and keep our mind steadfast on Him, so that we know with this renewed mind and this renewed spirit, we are attacking the spiritual thing that is binding and holding and deceiving people and got the scales over their eyes. So that a lot of times people use that scripture one way, but we also got to understand that we, the righteous, the spiritual-minded people, the girded up ones, we got to take some things by force, and that's fighting in the spirit.
Amen. You said it there. That was it.
Cynthia, you said a long time ago that it shouldn't surprise us that unsaved people do bad things. Remember that?
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's just their nature.
And sometimes we just can't. You got to remember, we are not always in the spirit realm all the time. We're not Jesus. And even Jesus got angry. You know, you see how he did in the synagogue? He flipped over the table and let all the animals and everything go and told the people, you know, God was not pleased with them. So, but even in our imperfection and how we do things, we still got to love the hell out of them. We still got to love, because why? God said so. I didn't say it. God said it. I'm just bringing it out again. Because we all sin and fall short of the glory of God every once in a while or whatever. We all got to repent every single day, because sin is sin, whether it's a small one, a big one, a medium, or whatever. It's there, because that's our nature. We are human beings. But at the same time, even when you are in the flesh, it should be something there to make you say, oh, let me back up. That is not of God. I can't be acting like that right there. Now, whether you act on it or not, that's between you and God. I ain't got nothing to do with that. The only thing I got to keep telling you at my job is you got to love them. Regardless of what's going on, you got to love them. And if you don't feel like you can, then that's when you bring somebody else in the picture with you. But you got to love them. Because that's one of God's rules that we do that.
And also, I would like to read the scripture. And this is not so much about love, but this is, again, to piggyback off of Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 8. For us to be aware that while we're out here loving, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago when we started out with the topic of love and Bible study, about when we're on this battlefield and when we're living this life for the Lord, that there are going to come times where we're going to be attacked in our inner circle.
Amen. Amen.
Scripture is, Lord have mercy. Okay. I want to say it's Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 10, and I am reading verse 26 through, let me start at 26. It says, this
is
Jesus
talking.
Yes, ma'am. Starting at the 26th verse.
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, starting at the 34th verse, excuse me.
34.
Yes,
Mama Ann, mute your phone. Because I can hear you. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Apologize.
It reads, this is Jesus talking. Do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace but a sword, for I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And in that, you have both love and hate going on, and you have to realize that there are some things in this earth that comes up while we're living this life for Christ that is purposeful, but we still got to love our way through it, acknowledge that some of these things are used to bring glory to God. It's not always going to be black and white when it comes to love and hate.
Amen. Amen to that. Anybody else got anything you want to add?
Cynthia.
Yes, sir.
I got one thing for back in Ecclesiastics, a time for peace. So remember, a long time ago, you saying that this is in the New Testament, that the disciples, when they went to a house while they was witnessing, evangelizing, and you had people striving with them, arguing with them, just being bad people, what did these disciples do? They shook the dust off their sandals and they left that house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? So yeah. I think that when you get in certain situations, that you're thinking, you know what? This is a non-peaceful time. We're not making any headway. They're just arguing with us. It's time to find some peace. So sometimes you got to make an effort to go find that peace. And we know that peace is in God's presence, but Back to your illustration, you leave that place of non-peace sometimes to go find peace in God's presence.
Amen. And yes, you do, and that's what you have to do sometimes, because like I said, we have to have, I'm a firm believer that if we don't get a peace of mind, we can't be productive. It's as simple as that. You cannot do anything any kind of work for God in destruction all the time, in chaos all the time. So what do you have to do? You have to regroup. You have to go sit down somewhere. If it means sitting by yourself and just pondering and letting God minister to you, and not on the phone or the internet or the social media or none of that kind of stuff, listening to everybody else. Sometimes God just wants us to get quiet so he can talk to us. Because when you got a whole lot of chaos going on, you can't hear from God. Not the right stuff. Because, see, the devil is so cunning with his little imps, his little brothers and sisters or whatever. He'll make you think that it's God telling you to do something when it's really your own conscience saying, well, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm just going to do what I want to do and suffer the consequence later. No, get some peace about yourself, as Brother Don was saying, and then you can see the big picture of it. Because I keep hearing the Holy Ghost saying the big picture. See, we want to stay in that little narrow thing, but God has a bigger picture for us. And in order to see it and to hear, we've got to sit still. We've got to be with peace with ourselves. Because I'm going to throw this out here at you. If you don't have no peace in your life and your life is in chaos all the time, how can you help anybody else? Come on now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
But you can't do it because you don't have no peace. You ain't going to do nothing but cause more chaos. So let the hate and all the other stuff just going on about his business, and just learn how to depend on God and see what God has for you.
what God wants you and what God wants you to do. But you, but it will bring you to submit to being in peaceful, being peace with yourself. Because when you are at peace with yourself, then you can hear what God is telling you. Then you can help others.
Well, I just want to piggyback on what you're saying, not long.
Okay.
God said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
So by saying that, if you got the mind of Christ, you shouldn't,
come
even,
on now.
You shouldn't even entertain hate, because hate is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Hate is a spirit. You got a choice,
yes,
or love.
Mm.
So hate is a choice.
Mm. Amen. Amen. Amen to that. And that's really good. Okay, but Brother Don, I'm handing it back for you to do your closing remarks.
So we learned that tonight God is who teaches us love, and he uses three ways to teach us love: by his personal example, by the written word of God, and through the Holy Spirit enjoying us. Now, Pastor Cynthia said before, you can't read the Bible on Sunday and not read the other six days of the week. You need to spend time in the Word every day, prayer every day, in the presence of God every day. And you know what? There's sometimes you're going to get busy. My pastor says, hey, if it's only 5 minutes out of 24 hours,
that's
the best
right.
5 minutes you've invested the whole day.
That's right.
Because, you know, there's people out there saying, you know, you got to pray for 3 hours a day. And, you know, and the devil say, oh, you didn't pray for 3 hours. And he's going to try to cover you with guilt and condemnation. Well, that's not from God. That's from the devil.
Uh-huh.
So the important thing is just be consistent, and over time, you know, just say, hey, God, you know, I'm not getting enough time with you for this and this. And say, hey, can you help me out and, you know, clear my schedule or, you know, or whatever he needs to do so you get more time with him. I don't think you have a problem with that. In fact, you'll probably want to do that.
That's right. Amen. 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 Well, this has been a very interesting and refreshing Bible study tonight, and I appreciate everybody for being on the line and participating in it, and welcome those that didn't say anything that are on the line. Sometimes people just want to listen, and that's okay too. But everybody's invited every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for True Foundation Ministry Bible study, where everybody's important, everybody's opinion means something, and we participate in our Bible study lesson. This is the first Thursday coming up in March, so everybody should have their books that want to get on to do their class, because that's what I was waiting on, and I trust that everybody do have their book and they done did the first chapter in it, and we'll go over it together and we'll learn together. Never too old to learn anything. I've been in this for a minute now, but I learn something new every time we get on the line or we be in church or Bible study or whatever. Read to show yourself approval of the word, and so you can get the understanding, and pray and ask God give you the understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. The only other thing I have is I do apologize. Some knew that we were getting ready to start our fast today because this is Ash Wednesday, and some didn't, and I do apologize for that. You have two ways you can do it. It's the absolute fast. I know a lot of you can't do it because you take medicine and stuff like that right there, and that's understandable. So the Daniel fast, when you get up in the morning, I get up 5 o'clock in the morning, so my fast is from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. I know some people cannot fast that long. So by 12 o'clock, if that's as long as you can go, then that's as long as you go. We're eating no sweets, no dairy,
none of this stuff. You know, the Daniel fast is just fruits and vegetables and fish. You can have some fish and drink plenty of water so you don't get dehydrated. I cut out caffeine because I'm a coffee freak. So y'all pray for me. Please pray for me. Because I love my coffee. I drink coffee and won't eat nothing all day long, but I'm not doing that this time right here. I'm also asking that those that are really serious about this fast, and one thing I need to explain to you about the fast is not about what you're expecting God to do for you. It's what you're expecting to get, how to get closer to God. If you are fasting so God will give you a house or a car or money or whatever, then that's not the reason to fast. I'm fasting because I need my relationship to be 100 times better than what it was last year. I've asked my younger crowd to get off social media for these next 30-some, almost 40-some days. I know it's going to kill them, but they'll get over it. And I'll know if you're cheating because my phone will ding to let me know. Getting off the phone with gossiping and stuff, whatever it is that hinders you from spending a little bit more time with God, then you need to let it go, because this year right here, my brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost has already revealed and showed me. If we don't take God serious, he's going to turn us into a reprobate mind. We're going to lose stuff and don't even know how we lost it. And the blessings that God wants to bless his people with this year, 2025, I'm telling you, I behoove you not to take it serious. So be serious about this fast. Spend some quality time with God. If you're at work, get a scripture and you can repeat it in your mind over and over and over again or whatever. You know, when you get on your break, go in the bathroom to your car or your cubicle or whatever and read your word. You don't have to have a Bible. It's on our phones now. Turn on the gospel music. Just spend some time with God, because that's what this fast right here, this fast is from now to I won't tell you no lie, all the way up until the first Wednesday is today, so this will be all the way up until the Passover, which is the 12th through the 20th, to Palm Sunday, which is the 20th of April. And so I'm asking everybody that can, I'm telling you, it's not going to hurt you to do it. It's not going to hurt. You're not going to die. If it's anything, it's going to make you healthier. Those that need to get with their doctors to see just how far they can go, I encourage you to do so. But I'm asking all that can to go on this journey, this spiritual journey, because we're doing it as a corporate. To go on this fast, I promise you, you will not regret it. And you will really get what it is that you are looking for God to do for you. And while we are on this fast, let's just keep each other in prayer and stay in focus. The negativity, say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I'm praying for you, and walk away. When they call you on the phone with it, I don't want to hear it, and walk away.
Amen.
Because we need this fast, my brothers and sisters.
I fast about 12 o'clock.
And that's fine, Mama Ann, because I know you have medicine that you have to take and you have to eat and stuff, and that's fine. And for those that do have to take morning meds, you can take your meds with a little bit of water and eat some saltine crackers.
Yeah.
Or a piece of fruit. That will hold you until 12 o'clock. For those that do have to take medicine, and especially if you have to work. But look up the Daniel fast. It'll tell you exactly what to do and how to do it. But as a corporate fast, I'm asking everybody that can to join me on this journey, and let's do it. Let's get that 300-fold we need from God. Because we're not little punk Christians, children of God. We've been on this journey for a long time. We are soldiers, and we need to stand up and act like soldiers. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Don, Elder Don, can you pray us out, please?
Yes, if all hearts and minds are clear. Father God, we thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for this learning opportunity, God. We ask you, Father God, let us be a hearer of the word. Let us be a doer of the word. And Father God, even if with these fasts that's coming up, Father God, we ask you to give us the strength to go through these fasts, God, not only just for financial gain or physical gain, Father God, but mostly, Father God, for our spirit can be one with you. Father God, we ask you as we go on this fast, God, search our heart, search our mind, Father God. Lord, whatever thing that's not like you, we ask you to remove it, Lord. But strengthen us with your love, your peace, your happiness, and your joy. Bless everyone that's on this Bible study, on the sound of my voice, God. And right now we give your name the glory, the praise, and we just thank you right now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And the quote tonight was Psalms 46 and 10, be still and know that I am God. I love everybody. Amen. Looking forward to seeing everybody tonight, tomorrow. Listen to your rhythm at 7 o'clock. Be blessed and have a wonderful, wonderful evening.